not expecting
I've
that.
I've had so many questions.
Hi, I'm Malachi, and you're listening to the Judge a Book podcast. Downloads and reviews help us out a ton, so leave us 5 stars before you go. Every single week, join in for our book club where we talk about the books that we loved, or maybe not so loved. New books will be chosen every month, and you'll get to listen to exactly how we judge a book.
Okay, we're back. It's week 2, and we are reading The Inheritance Games. So if you are joining in on our book club, keep on listening. If you have not read week 2's reading, stop now. Go read and come back and chat with us.
This week's episode of the Judge a Book podcast is brought to you in part by Ibotta, a cashback rewards app that I use to make real money every time I shop for groceries, online purchases, and more. If you want to sign up for Ibotta, use my code in the pod description. I love Ibotta, and I recently hit the 100 club, meaning I've earned a $100 cashback, which of course I'm going to be using for books. So if you want to sign up for Ibotta, use the code in my description below and earn cashback on your everyday purchases.
And I am back with Jordan this week. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, Malachi. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. We are ready to dive in to week 2's reading. We have lots to cover this week. Lots of stuff happened, so we're very excited to get into it. Okay, so starting this week's reading, Avery is at her first day at her new school. She meets Thea, who gives her a lot of warnings about the Hawthorns, including a girl who died there. What? And her name is Emily, but we, like... What? I was not expecting
that. I've had so many questions.
So we
meet. I was like, a mystery inside a mystery. Okay.
I know. This thing is like packed full of mystery. So we meet Emily, and we later find out that Thea is related to the Hawthorns. So she kind of takes all of this advice that Thea gives her with like a little bit of grain of salt, because she's like, okay, like you're related to them. Like, how much of what she's saying is true, or is she just kind of being like malicious? And that's kind of what I'm thinking too. Avery continues thinking about Jameson's letter, and together after school, they start to search the library for a book with a mix-matched cover. So the book doesn't have the correct dust cover on it, is what I'm kind of picturing in this. And after a couple days of searching, they find one, and it has a secret message. It says, if there is a blank, there is a way. So the only thing missing is... a will, of course. So I'm like, we have another will? Is that what's going on here? It also has a secret message decoder. So Avery, they kind of get to talking, and they find out that it kind of reads red text, which is something familiar to them that the grandfather has done in the past. So Avery requests to her lawyer to see the red will and finds that there are hidden words in this will, and the hidden words are the boys' middle names. Avery starts to do some digging, and she talks to Skye, which is the Hawthorne's mom, all the Hawthorne boys' moms, and she discovers that the grandpa is the one who named the boys' middle names. He's the one that gave them their middle names. So Avery does some digging. Also, Skye reveals that there is no information about the dads. She's not interested in giving any information, and the boys don't know anything about their dads. That's left a mystery. Zara enters the scene, and she's wanting to talk to Avery about their charity organization. But lo and behold, when time comes for lessons, Zara is nowhere to be found, and that leaves her with Grayson at the foundation. While they're at the foundation, she sees a map of the Hawthorne House, and what's there? A Blackwood, which is one of the middle names, and a brook to the west, aka Westbrook, right? And so, which are two of the boys' middle names, that leaves Avery kind of thinking like, okay, this has to mean something. What can it mean? We finish up this whole week by them rushing back to the Hawthorne House, where abusive ex of Libby's, Drake, is causing a scene again. He's back. And it is that leaves Avery to try and have to cause a diversion with the press and talk to the press, which is exactly what her lawyers have told her not to do. So yeah, that's where we finish up this week. What are your thoughts?
So much happened in the second part. I really, really liked how we started to get more of like the clues and sort of more of like the games kind of rolling. And then the Emily bomb, I wrote so many like notes, like who is Emily? Who is Emily? Who is Emily? Like what is the intrigue and the mystery behind this? I was definitely not expecting like that mystery within a mystery. So I'm like, okay, we're trying to focus on why Avery is getting this inheritance, but oh wait, now Avery's like, well, why is there a dead girl? Like,
and then I'm still thinking about the homeless guy at the beginning too. And I'm thinking about, which I don't know why I'm so hung up on this homeless guy, but then also we have the brother who, like, the like uncle slash brother, Zara and Sky's brother.
Oh, yeah.
And that feels like a mystery too. So it's just mystery and mystery and mystery and mystery. Have any of your opinions changed of the characters so far?
Ooh, Grayson is starting to grow on me a bit more. he was just like kind of pretentious in the beginning, and you know, he was very untrustworthy of Avery and didn't really, you know, thought she was like a con artist. He's like, I will get to the bottom of like why you conned my family out of this will. Sort of there, like, you know, he was very kind of not happy with the situation. You kind of find out too that he was like supposed to be like the heir, like a Hawthorne heir or something like that, so he was expecting to get like this lump sum. But I think seeing him in a different light, kind of showing Avery through the ropes of the foundation and what he does there, kind of started to make him warm up a little bit more.
Yeah, that's so true.
He's growing on me.
He definitely has another side with foundation. It's like he obviously is not just in it for the money. Like he's kind of invested in every part of what his grandpa was doing. So my opinions haven't really changed on anyone. I personally don't love Sky, but I don't know. She's just an interesting character. She's not my favorite, but she's not my least favorite. Yeah, nothing really, really has changed in what I'm thinking of everybody so far.
I am starting to like lose a little bit more like I'm starting to lose more respect for Libby, just because she hasn't really put her foot down with the whole Drake situation. I just don't like how she. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, get him out of here. I just wish she had a little bit more control or authority over him, even though, you know, he is kind of that controlling figure over her. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, you just feel like Libby could do, you know, something. So Libby has this restraining order against Drake too, right? And she's, I don't know, it's not being enforced. She is still has the same phone. She's still in contact with Drake, it seems like.
Yeah, and that's kind of like where my respect is starting to dwindle a bit, because, you know, even Alyssa, like the lawyer, she's very adamant about like, you know, Drake is causing this big problem. I'm gonna get restraining orders against both of you. And this is after he like showed up at the estate. And so, you know, Avery went out and got a new phone and got new things. And I was kind of confused as to why Libby also didn't get a new phone, especially after Avery kind of caught that they were still in contact a little bit. Not so much there's conversation going back and forth, but kind of saw that Derek was kind of blowing up Libby's phone. And I'm like, you know, if you don't want this guy in your life, why do you continue to kind of like enable it in a way by not
putting
your phone a little bit more?
She's got this entire new life, essentially. Like, her sister now has all this money, she has everything that she could want, and she's still holding on to him. And it just doesn't make sense to me why she's still, I don't know, feeling like she needs to be a part of his life.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to me. I feel like a lot of unexpected twists have kind of happened so far, and we've kind of already talked about Emily, but anything else that was just kind of a shocking twist to you within this section?
I did think that, like, the whole, like, middle name intrigue was very interesting to me. I was like, as soon as I found out, after they had that conversation with Sky, and as soon as Sky kind of mentioned, like, oh, like, your grandfather, like, named you guys, and I was like, oh, of course the grandfather was behind this. I was like, now it's starting to make more sense. And, you know, even when she went to the foundation and saw that map with, like, the middle names, I was like, okay, like, some clues are starting to happen. Like, I'm ready for this, like, plot to drive forward with, like, the next sort of bit after they found, you know, the book clue. So,
which is crazy
just, like,
ready to
me.
To
see,
like,
more of these.
Like, has this puzzle, this game that we're in, been going on since the boys were born? Like, has he been planning this, like, all of this time? Or did he name these properties after that? Like, I don't know. Like, we have, like, the Westbrook and the Blackwood. And I'm like, did those get names after the boys were born, or did he do this in advance? Did the fathers, are they really, like, so absent that they didn't name the kids? Did the fathers even know that the kids exist? Because wouldn't they want a part of the inheritance? Like, wouldn't they want to be part of the money? That's what I would think.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, the fathers are never mentioned, and even though, like, all four boys have different fathers, it's interesting that not one out of the four, you'd think at least one of the fathers would want to be, like, involved, but it's, like, I feel like the odds of, like, all four fathers kind of being out of the picture is, it's interesting, so, yeah, it's
yeah, really, it makes me wonder, like, did the fathers not even know that she was pregnant, that she had kids? Like, she could have kept that away from them. That's just crazy to me.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, that with, like, this whole game going on, too, we see, like, that all, like, all the brothers start to kind of reveal their letters, and then we start to see that they all got the same letter. And so now I'm like, okay, is this game, like, the inheritance games, is it going to start becoming, like, a competition between the four brothers?
Yeah, that's so true. And then the Red Will, that was shocking to me. And it's just crazy that the lawyers knew about it, obviously, because they had it. Yeah. And, like, they were just sitting on that piece of information like it wasn't a big deal. Like,
you don't want to mention that there was another will.
Yeah. But then, like, come to find out, it doesn't seem surface level that big of a deal that it's a different will, because there's nothing different except for their middle names. So if you were the lawyer seeing that, you wouldn't, I don't think you would think there's much up, right? Like, it looks the same as a normal will, except you use a secret message decoder and you discover that the middle names are randomly important. So now that we have got to know the characters a little bit more and you can kind of start to picture them, did you kind of go through and think about, like, what you thought they would look like or see? Like, we talked about there was going to be a TV show, so me and you were texting and talked about, like, who we would cast. So did you come up with anyone that you think, like, really fits the bill for any of these characters?
Man, okay, my thing is, like, whenever I read, too, I'm actually really, really bad about, like, picturing faces in my mind. Yeah, I'm not, like, someone that, like, will pick, like, a full cast for books. It's, like, as, like, the story plays in my mind, they all just kind of have blank faces.
Yeah, I don't know, I get
it's
that.
It's so weird to explain. There is, like, for some reason, I was kind of picturing Lucy Hale as Libby. I don't know why.
Wow.
She's kind of described as, like, being, like, kind of goth and, you know, with her style. And to me, that just sounds like something she would be. Like, I also was picturing James Franco as Nash.
Okay,
I don't
know
why.
That's kind of good. That's good. No, I can see that.
But that's really all I thought of. Like, what did you think?
I love Lucy Hale, so I love that you picked her for that, because I didn't even think of her, and she's one of my favorite actresses. So, I don't know. For Libby, I just said someone edgy. Like, I think she, like, I don't know. I just see her as, like, edgy, and so I don't really know any actors or actresses that are edgy. They could be edgy when they want to be, but, like, I don't know. That one was kind of hard for me. I don't know. For Grayson, I'm picturing some kind of guy who's, like, posh looking. Like, I thought, like, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but Timothy Chalamet, like, he's kind of like a posh kind of guy, and I feel like maybe him. I don't know. I put Nash as Freddie Highmore, which I don't exactly see, but I love Freddie Highmore. He is from The Good Doctor, if you've seen that, or Psycho.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a good actor, and so I felt like he could kind of embrace that role. And he's a little bit shaggy, which is kind of how I picture Nash, so yeah. And then the only other one I can, like, truly see is I have Xander as Rashawn Fagan. I just, like, kind of looked up the description of what I thought Xander looked like in my mind, and that guy popped up, and I thought it kind of looked like what I thought Xander would look like. So I'm not the best at picking out casts, but it was pretty fun to kind of, like, try and see what I thought that they would look like. But my mind definitely doesn't create real people, like, like you said. They're just kind of mash mix of body parts kind of in my mind. Like, you have a certain hair, I can see your hair. But I don't think, okay, that person looks like this celebrity or this person that I know. So I totally get that.
That's why it's so much helpful whenever there is, like, some sort of TV adaptation that already has, like, a set cast, and then you can kind of, like, fill those roles in your mind, but, like, I try to come up with it on your own, I'm like, I have no idea.
I know, but then at the same time, right, they'll cast someone in a movie, and you're like, they don't look like that at all. Like,
yeah, that is very true.
Like, I don't know what you look like, but you don't look like them, I can tell you that much.
But that's wrong.
Where are we in terms of romance so far? I feel like we're picking up.
I feel like throughout this whole story, like, I'm always, like, kind of, like, I feel like with any story, really, I'm always, like, trying to, like, put characters together, whether there is supposed to be, like, romance in the story at all. I just feel like a story without, I don't know, I feel like every story kind of has to have some
You're a book matchmaker.
Like, yeah, totally. Like, in the very beginning, I was like, I see these two people together. Like, I'm definitely seeing, I like Avery and Jameson, but then, of course, like, with Grayson coming in, I'm like, ooh, like you said last week, too, like, is there going to be some sort of maybe, like, love triangle going on? I'm also seeing Libby and Nash getting closer. Nash is constantly lingering around Libby, too, and I'm like, why? And, you know, Nash is also the oldest, and Libby's also older than Avery, so it makes sense. They're pretty much the same. They should be the same age. Libby's 8 years older than Avery, and then he's 8 years older than, like, than Grayson, I think. So
wow, I didn't even, like, realize how much older they are. I think I realized Nash was a lot older, but I didn't realize how much older Libby is than Avery.
Yeah. So I can definitely make sense that those two would be kind of, like, paired up. But then again, it's like, get Drake out of the way.
That's what I said. My notes literally say Nash and Libby, but Drake? Like, what's going on? And then Emily. There has to be something with Emily. I feel like Emily definitely is involved in this situation, so.
For sure.
Lots of little budding romances, but they all have their issues. Like, there's no, like, clean cut moving forward. Okay, Jameson and Avery could have been clean cut, but then Grayson. And then, like, we have Libby and Drake, but then Nash. And then where does Emily fit in all of this? And, yeah, it's just an entangled little web.
I thought Jameson would have been kind of, like, obvious with, like, Avery in the beginning, but then it's, like, because he was pretty accepting of the fact, like, look, let's figure this out together sort of thing, like, you know, whereas Grayson was just not about it. But then even whenever she had her first day at the, like, country day school, Nash was just kind of like, don't be seen with me, like, deuces, and, like, I'm like, okay, well, I feel like he would have kind of been a little bit more protective of her if, like, something was gonna, like, bud between the two. But I don't know. It's like, I feel like I root for romances in any story, so for whatever reasons, so I'm still kind of, like, waiting for something to brew.
Yeah, I totally get that. Obviously, we feel the same way because we're sitting here pairing them all together. Oh, yeah. Even if we're matching them into a love triangle, like, y'all are going. Sorry. What else? What, any notes, any quotes that just, like, stood out to you in this week's reading?
Ooh, so my biggest thing, because, like, I know last week we talked about, you know, the cover and whatnot, and we have Nash sort of starting to get involved with the games, and he had mentioned that, I wrote this quote down, I'm, like, scrolling through my notes trying to find, so he, like, mentioned to Avery, he was like, you know, we aren't normal, like, this place isn't normal, and you're not a player kid, you're the glass ballerina or the knife, and that just, like, set a light bulb up in my brain, and I was like, okay, because for a while I was like, why is there this ballerina on the cover, I don't understand, why is there, like, why is there a knife, and then I was like, okay, well, how did it take me that long to, like, put that
together? Yeah, I totally did not put that together. I'm, like, sitting here looking at the front cover, like, why is there a ballerina? Like, so far there's been no dancing, no, like, no one's stabbing anyone.
No jewelry box, I don't get it.
Yeah, I totally didn't get that. That makes so much sense. Look at you.
Also, really, really liked this one quote by Jameson that I wrote down, and it was when I think, like, all the boys were together, Avery was, it was, like, Avery, Jameson, and Grayson, I believe, but I really liked when Jameson was like, oh, Avery doesn't bite, frankly, now that the issue of relatedness has been settled in the negative, I'd be game if she did, and I'm like, okay.
Heating up in here.
I thought that was so funny, and I think Jameson's just kind of, I've been watching a lot of Love Island recently, so I think Jameson's kind of cheeky.
Oh, kind of cheeky. You must be watching the UK version.
Oh, yeah.
That's so funny. Pull him for a chat.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
We have Mysterious Emily, and we find out what she is the daughter of some of the staff that work at the Hawthorne House. And they got money in the inheritance, like, when the will was read. So it's like, what is, like, I don't know. Emily just keeps getting more and more entangled in all of this. Like, she's, I don't know, like, and then we find out that Rebecca, who Avery met at school, so she goes to her first day of school, she's in class and she meets a girl named Rebecca. Rebecca is Emily's sister, like, and their grandparents work for the Hawthorns, so I don't know, it's just a big old entangled web right now.
Oh, yeah. And the grandparents live, like, in a cottage right off the estate. So
yeah, they don't, they live on the property, but they don't live really, like, in the house. Yeah. And then I kept noticing Skye just keeps messing up Avery's name, and I have to think that's on purpose. She can't, like, you know, she has to be doing that to be messing with her. Like, there's no way that she can't remember a girl who just got $47 billion that should have been hers, you know? Like, she knows her name. Like, Skye's a little bit petty. And then this little section, so we had Max, the friend from the start, that Avery's been texting. She's mentioned a little bit in this section, but not a ton. So I'm wondering, you know, I'm obsessed with these side characters in this book. So I'm wondering, like, what is Max's role in all of this? Avery texts her, but why is she still being kind of, like, drug along, and why is she a part of it in general?
And then... And another thing with, like, the whole paparazzi in the press, it's, like, you kind of see that Max is getting a little overwhelmed by Avery's situation, and Avery doesn't really have any friends besides Max, and it's, like, her childhood friend that I guess, like, had moved away, so they just kept in touch over phone, and then it's, like, now Max is kind of, like, getting thrown through the ringer with, like, the press trying to contact her about Avery, and I don't think she's, like, really having it, and so...
And her parents definitely aren't having it. She has strict parents, from what it seems. So, yeah, they're not.
Her texts are funny, though, with having to, like, get around, like, the whole, like, cuss thing and, like, freak out. So
I
do enjoy her little
snippets there. They are so funny. They are. They are hilarious. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else? The homeless friends brought up again.
Of course.
And you know, I'm stuck on that homeless guy.
You
are. Like, why are we in the middle of the book and he's brought up again? Like, I don't know, they're stringing him along, and I felt like he should have been left back at the front if there was nothing going on. So, yeah.
He keeps getting thrown in there.
Yeah, and it's not a lot. There's just these little, slight little nods that make me think something's up, but who knows?
Like, the author's like, don't forget.
Just a reminder. Yeah. And then another thing that we find out is that Tobias Hawthorne, the grandpa, also got his middle name 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, like, he didn't have the middle name that he had. Like, I don't know. I think the lawyer brings it up that he created a middle name for himself just 20 years ago. So how is that involved? We have the middle name of all of the boys. Like, names are definitely important in this book. And
yeah,
I kind of thought that at the front. And I don't know if it's kind of the same path that I thought the names were going to follow. But it's cool that the names are important, that they all have some kind of meaning. I mentioned that homeless friend was brought up again, which I've been obsessed with, but she bought him a house. That's a big deal. Like, out of all the people that she knows and herself, she's not really bought herself anything. She's not really got anything for, like, her friend Max that she's been talking to, but this homeless man, she's now bought him a house. And I'm like, I don't know, I feel like that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's so interesting because it's like, their relationship really is just they meet in the park and play chess. And even in the beginning, she kind of also mentioned that she wanted to, didn't she mention that she wanted to, like, she kind of, like, manipulated the game sometimes to make sure that she would win, because that was the only way that he would let her, like, buy him, like, a meal or something.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for her to be, like, not want anything, Libby had to go out and buy her new stuff, and then her to be, like, yeah, I want to get this man, like, a house. It's like, now I'm starting to see where you're picking up on
I know.
More of, like, this relationship.
I feel like I'm forcing this, like version of Harry in on you that you didn't pick up on. Like, I could be so wrong, and I'm making you think, like, so deeply about this guy who might be completely irrelevant. Like, she might just be trying to be the right thing, but it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's totally right, because now I'm like, okay, why does he keep getting brought up? And I didn't think anything of it until, like, you said it's something, so now as we're discussing it, I'm like, ah, okay, now, like, my wheels are starting to turn.
This is what happens when you buddy read.
I know, I'm like, oh, that's suspicious.
It is suspicious. And then we have the makeover scene, right? Mm-hmm. So Avery and Libby both get makeovers.
I love that. And I liked how last episode you talked about, like, this story reminded you of Princess Diaries. And I was like, oh, we get a Princess Diaries makeover.
Oh my gosh. I honestly did not even think about it being Princess Diaries, even though last week that's what I was relating it to. So I love it. Though, like, yeah, I just love it. I was thinking we Princess Diaries, like, she's just so shocked that she's getting this inheritance. Like, the whole, like, shut up scene. Mm-hmm. But, like, now I'm seeing, like, the two pictures of her, like, they pull them apart.
And they pull it away, yeah.
That is so funny. No, I love it.
See, like, a whole team come in. Love it.
That is hilarious.
That whole makeover is for, like, the image of, like, the paparazzi. Like, you can't be seen out in public, like, the way that you look. So we gotta get you cleaned up.
Yeah, that's so true. And all this paparazzi is because of freaking Drake.
Mm-hmm.
He would have dressed. Yeah. Minded his own business, then we wouldn't be in this situation, but Drake is causing it all, and I think it's cool Libby gets a makeover, too, so, yeah, it's just nice, it's neat.
I had one thing that, something that I noticed is that I wrote down, that Grayson started to kind of, I've started to sense some tension between Grayson and Jameson, so that's why I was kind of like, okay, like, is there gonna be some, like, competition starting to form between the two, especially where we both sort of have our suspicions of Avery might potentially be in, like, a love triangle situation. But then Grayson also warns, Nash actually warned that Jameson might double cross Avery later. Because apparently, like, growing up, these boys, you know, would all, you know, the whole Hawthorne boys would have, like, these games and kind of competitions amongst themselves, and Jameson and Grayson were always kind of, like, at each other's throats, I guess, and Jameson was kind of known for double-crossing, I guess.
Yeah, so it's like they have, like, this competition, like, ingrained in them, so.
Yeah.
And it seems like Nash is kind of pulled back from the whole competition thing, and I don't know if it's, like, you said he's older, so maybe it's the fact that he's older, but I wonder if something's happened to make him not so, like, invested and not care as much, like, I don't know.
Yeah. It seems like Nash is really only, like, invested in Libby.
Seems like there is a big focus on Grayson and Jameson, and then we kind of have, like, the two black sheeps. Like, Xander, not so much. He feels like he fits in a little more to me, but Nash just kind of feels like the outsider in, like, everything going on. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't know if it was because of that big age gap, because I think when I think this is mentioned that whenever they went into, like, looking for, like, the book and stuff, they... Nash kind of mentioned that, like, those three would kind of, like, hang out in, like, the library and stuff, and Nash was always kind of, like, more on the outskirts, so, yeah, I don't know if it is the age gap situation, but, like, his involvement is, like, he's lingering, but he's not fully there, but he's also, like, adding tidbits to, like, Avery about, like, you know, the situation, so it's interesting to see, like, what his involvement really is going to be.
Yeah, definitely. We kind of end, like I said before, they're at the foundation, Grayson and Avery are learning about the charity and that she's gonna have to decide, like, where all the money goes, and then she sees the map, which is intriguing, but we don't know anything yet. But we kind of get intrigued about that map, but then we end and there is the whole scene that Drake causes with the press again. So he's back at the Hawthorne house causing a scene with the press, and it leaves Avery in this position where she's between, like, she has to make a distraction. So she's having to talk to the press. So it leaves Avery to cause this distraction with the press, and she drops the bomb that she knows why she got the inheritance, which to me, she doesn't. She's just saying it, right? Like, she doesn't know why she got it. We know she only got a two-word letter. So she doesn't really know, but she tells them that she knows, which is gonna open, like, a huge can of worms. Like, I don't know. Like, it's definitely gonna make her relationship with the press way more involved than they've already been.
Yeah, I wasn't sure as to why, like, that was her big solution. Like, maybe if it's, like, if they I feel like if anything, that would make them, like, a little bit more, like, intrigued in her. But it's, like, as long as that gets Drake kind of out of the way, like, I get why she did that. But at the same time, too, it's, like, that's not going to make Alyssa very happy. So no. I don't know if she'll get some repercussions from that.
I definitely see her getting some repercussions from that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, anything else that you want to talk about from week two's reading?
So last week we kind of, like, talked about the, like, trying to figure out, like, the relationship between the mom and Tobias, like, thinking maybe there was, like, some sort of connection mm-hmm. there. And, of course, like, the family members already kind of were thinking about that as well. So Zara and her husband kind of got the ball rolling on a DNA test. And even Avery was like, how did they even get my DNA? But this is where we kind of found out that there wasn't any actual relationship between the two. So it does kind of make you wonder why, you know, there is that involvement, because it's like the whole time even Avery was suspecting that it could be because of her mother, because her mother, you know, like on page one said, I have a secret sort of thing. So
it's right about the front. And so, you know, there's something mysterious going on. Mm-hmm. So at least I think there's something mysterious going on with the mom. So who knows?
I didn't think that she would actually be related. Well, mainly because me thinking about like the romances, I'm like, oh, that would suck. That would kill everything if they were actually like related. And of course, like Jameson came in with that quote later. To kind of confirm that too.
Oh, yeah. We definitely know that there's a spark there now. But it would, like, and I feel like that is just, it would have been too easy of an answer. Like, from the author's point of view, like, it wouldn't have been a good route to just, he's actually your missing dad, or you know, like, something
like that.
That's
just, like, too convenient.
Okay, well, we're in the middle of the book. I think we're officially just about halfway done with the book as of right now. So it's time to get reading on week three's reading. So if you're joining along in our book club, next week's reading is going to end on page 280, or that is the start of chapter 68. Which, wow, I feel like we're wrapping up on this. If you want to join us next week, we'll be back. We'll be talking about week three and what we thought, and hopefully we get some answers to all of these questions, especially Emily. I'm like, I am invested to see what that's all about. Well, we'll chat with you next week for week three of the book club.
That's it for today's episode of Judge a Book. If you enjoyed, please make sure to give us a 5-star review before you go. Connect with me on social media. They're all linked in the pod description. And don't forget, next Monday, a new episode of Book Club will be released. And we can once again judge a book.